just because you have a website up doesn't mean people are going to find it, come to it, convert, doesn't mean it's the right people. And so those keywords around what are people typing in, right? What are they searching? And then what's the intent behind that search? What are people doing when they're researching? Now, what are they doing when they're considering purchasing? You can get so much insight around customers and buying habits and buying triggers simply by having these SEO and PPC conversations with a smart person saying, okay, here's where the opportunity lies. And again, it's that full circle of the right conversations, really looking at full pipeline management. Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Marketing Blender Show. I am Dacia Coffee, and today I again have a special guest host. And today it's Ramsey Sanchez. He is the head of digital strategy at the Marketing Blender. And Ramsey, I'm so excited to bring on a pro to the show and let people hear how to actually get digital working for them. Because we get a lot of clients that are like, yeah, I've tried that digital stuff. It doesn't work for me. And we're always like, have you tried it? Have you really done it the right way? And that's why I appreciate so much working with you, is you're very much about going about it the right way for the right reason. So welcome to the show.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on the show. I'm really excited about this. I've always had some sort of interest in creative and digital marketing. So definitely in any way I can explain how to be beneficial to your business. And yeah, I'm really glad to be here. So
I love it. So first of all, thank you for that cue up. Today's topic, if you hadn't guessed, is the best B2B digital marketing strategies for 2024. But before we dive into those, and he's got a lot of good ones for you, let's talk a little bit about how did you get into digital marketing? Like, what was your career path to how did you get here?
Yeah, so I really just started back in college. I was in a small private university back in Waxahachie, Texas. I started to go down the path of, do I want to do video? Do I want to do business? I wasn't sure. And the communications class, which was like digital media, which was like video, was all filled up. So I was like, okay, business is going to be the route that I take. So, but I didn't realize that business administration had different sectors that you could like study. And, you know, there's accounting, there's HR, there's management, there's marketing. And so one of the professors pulled me aside and said, hey, like, which route are you going to take? And he was like, well, I'm a marketing professor. I had a lot of experience. You can take some of my classes. And I said, okay, that kind of aligns with like ads and paid media, you know, made media, things like that. And I said, okay, I'm going to go down this path. And so that really is how I got into this whole world of marketing. And, you know, his classes were really enjoyable. I started reading into, that was kind of a lot around the times like social media was growing and getting big. Yeah. And I said, okay, this is definitely the path I need to be going down. I realized then that businesses are looking into this. And so after I graduated, I would say I had my first real job into the digital marketing space. I was working at this franchise company. They're 100 years old. And
you can go ahead and say which one it is, because it's pretty cool.
Yeah, the company was Dale Carnegie. They're a global company, and they operated in different cities. So the franchise essentially was like a small business because it was only in that area that they would serve those professional development classes. And so they as a company were rebranding and going through this whole strategy of, hey, you need to start in telling the franchise owners, hey, you need to start doing digital marketing. And I remember the franchise owner that was hiring me was telling me this, and he was saying, you know, some of the main things that they want us to do is more social media. He's like, I'm sales. You know, actually before that he was engineer. And he's like, well, now I'm sales. I've never had to do marketing. And they're telling me to do this marketing thing, and they want me to do video. And I was like, okay. And I was like, perfect. That's what I want to do. So I'm the right candidate for that. Yeah. And so that ultimately just kind of threw me into the path of, oh, by the way, no, we just don't need video. We need email marketing. we need social media, or we have a Salesforce CRM. And all of a sudden, things that I didn't even really learn in college, I'm having to relearn these tools. And that just projected my whole path into the digital marketing space.
Well, and you know, what I love about your background too, because as you changed companies and moved forward, is you were forced to have a very clear point of view regarding return on investment. Thinking about your background, one of the things I loved and was super excited about with you joining our team is that as your career path projected forward, you really have a very focused point of view around return on investment, around digital marketing. So you have always been focused on, is it working? Is it driving sales? Is it driving the right types of leads? And I just felt like our philosophies aligned so much. And I was like, all right, you're our guy. Like, let's go. So, you know, what happened to get you really focused on that ROI? Like, talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, that's a really great question. I remember in those first 4 years at Dale Carnegie, I was learning all kinds of processes. You know, they have all kinds of training, and but also I was trying to really hone in on marketing. Right? I was like, okay, what? I've been doing email since day one. We were doing Facebook ads now. We're doing Meta ads, or at the time it was a Meta, Facebook, Instagram, and we have some PPC leads that are coming through. And I was just thinking, okay, I'm really seeing more value in this area, right? The whole creative side, the video, you know, I love it. I would go and shoot workshops, repurpose that content. It was really great content to put out there. But I was thinking, this is the path that I want to start taking, is this digital side. I mean, it's my degree. I mean, it's marketing. And if this person has, you know, if this business owner is seeing value in that, I think that I need to really learn more into this. And so the next thing was that my family and I wanted to move to North Texas. And so I'm from San Antonio, Texas. We moved to San Antonio to get that job, for me to get that job. And, you know, we were living life a little bit. Then we wanted to move to North Texas. And so I started looking for a new job. And I realized that even in that point, people were asking about my qualifications. You know, I only had 5 years experience at that point. And they were saying, hey, do you know Google Ads? Do you know digital? Do you know, CRM? And I was thinking, okay, there is a huge need here. There's all kinds of people who are, you know, business owners who are really, really concerned about this. And so, you know, I went and took the HubSpot certifications and all these courses and things like that. But eventually someone in my next job, they took a chance on me, but they were a director of marketing at a finance company for commercial trucks. And this person was a Google Ads PPC guy, but he was also an agency person at one point. He had all kinds of creative 20, 30 years of experience. And there, when I got there, they had a really huge lead generation pipeline, but it wasn't as refined as it needed to be. And this was 2020, and I was sort of learning the processes, you know, how financing works, you know, what systems are they using. They were using HubSpot, they were using the in-house CRM. And I started to see that for them, revenue was, you know, really important. It's all about sales. And so, and their main lead gen was either that they're calling their prospects or people are coming in through a form and signing up. And really with tools like HubSpot, that really was able to give me more insight of, you know, who is coming in from paid search, what keywords that they were coming through with. And that started to just open my eyes even more into this whole digital marketing and revenue generation and being able to track sales. And so the director and I just were cooperatively working on this process of, okay, how do we prove that marketing does work, right? How do we prove that your dollars going into this ad system can turn into 2x to 5x and some months 10x, you know?
Yes.
So that was 3 years of that. It was just over 3 years of just email, HubSpot, using automation tools, getting the leads to the right salespeople, making sure that they're the qualified leads, weeding out the ones that are not qualified. Maybe they can be in a different program. And that was fun. That was where I really learned the whole process of digital marketing and being able to take those skills from my first job into that job.
By this point, you guys have figured out that both Daisy and I are chief marketing officers. But what you might not realize is there's a whole team of us at the Marketing Blender, and we also have outsourced marketing teams. So if you're curious about how we break revenue plateaus, how we untangle sticky messaging, and how we make sure to drive exciting return on investment and profitable growth, check us out at themarketingblender.com. But it's not just for mid-market companies. We've also figured out how to scale it down for small businesses too.
The Marketing Blender Lab is our program just for small businesses looking to hit their first million in revenue. You still get to work with a real chief marketing officer, and we use the same structures and systems that work to grow big businesses to help you meet and exceed your goals.
So again, if you're interested, check out themarketingblender.com. See you there. I love it. So thank you. And now let's go ahead and take all that experience. And so as you're looking into 2024, what are the best B2B digital marketing, not hacks, but tactics or strategies that you're looking at that you want to share with people?
Yeah. So great question. That question kind of revolves around the last, almost 10 years of experience. I started in marketing in 2015. Right, so I'm approaching that 10-year mark. And just an accumulation of what I was talking about there is a good start. I mean, we oftentimes now that I'm with an agency, I see that clients come in and they usually have something already set up. They have a website and they have their pages, the homepage, about us, some services, maybe even some blogs. They may have already gone with an agency that set that up for them, maybe gave them some basic SEO optimization tools. They may have even set up themselves with Wix that kind of automates that process for you. And those are just like, that's just half the battle. Like yeah. you, great job. You did it. You're at that point. And now you're realizing, I do have this huge respect for marketing and being able to optimize my website and my page. And, I need some help in this marketing space. And That is really, I would say that's a really great point to start right there is once you get that all set up, okay, you need some things like tracking, right? Do you have Google Analytics set up, right? Sometimes that company that will set up your website will do it for you, or it might be built in. But really, you should try to just start with Google Analytics and get your tracking set up so that way you get more insight into your user base, people that are finding you on your website or on Google or Bing or whatever it may be. And, that would be just kind of step one for me. And you might learn about it, but then you may need some coaching on, what is a user and, what is the behavior map of, where does the lead go from one page to the next? And so those are just some good starts if you've just got your website up and running. But if you're a little more advanced, you can definitely say, okay, well, next tool I need to be looking into is my CRM. Is a HubSpot, is a Salesforce, is this some new tool out there? There are all kinds of CRMs out there that help with that attribution and tracking and things like that.
I love it. So you are so right. So one of the things that Ramsey's talking about, we see this super frequently, is that your tracking's not set up correctly or no one's even looking at it. And there's a big gap sometimes between marketing jargon, marketing metrics, and the impact on the business. But Ramsey's really talking about pipeline management. Your pipeline does not start the first time you have a conversation with a sales rep. It starts when these prospective buyers start researching you. So if you can't answer how many people are visiting your website and how long are they staying on your website and what are the most important pages, you are missing out on a huge, huge opportunity. And then on top of that, if you layer in more advanced tracking, how are they finding your website? What keywords, what pathways are leading them? Now you're really getting a point of view around real pipeline management. And so this is not marketing or digital marketing just for the sake of marketing. So I love that, Ramsey. And so then you are extending that conversation now into, okay, let's connect marketing and sales when you're talking about CRM. So what are kind of some of the things that you see people doing wrong or the opportunities that they should be using their CRM or their marketing automation to really, you know, capitalize on?
Yeah, that's a good question. And it's not that anyone is really doing it wrong. I mean, it's just a matter of educating our market, right? Our clients on, here's some just extra optimization things that you can do to connect your tools together, really. And that's where I like to start is, you know, you can maybe get somebody to help you connect your CRM to your ads, to your analytics, and have all those different tools communicate with each other. And that alone will save you a lot of headache. You know, if you get some tools like Zapier or some other automation tools, it'll save you a lot of headache on reporting and pulling the terms that are, you know, bringing in the most traffic and a lot more data, right? There is tons of data out there that would help in that. So that is really just kind of the beginning of that.
I love that one. You know, and I think the other thing that I'm so happy that you're bringing this one up is because it forces great conversations between sales and marketing and leadership. So for instance, if leads are coming in, sales mm-hmm. and marketing needs to talk. Were those good leads? Or mm-hmm. sales being accountable, did you work the leads? What mm-hmm. did they say, right? And that conversation loop, that feedback loop back to the person in marketing, back to the person managing the technology, because you're right. There's so much data. There's so much that can happen. Is it the right things happening and getting everybody on the same path about, are we looking at the proper, correct metrics? Are we having the right conversations that do lead to quality sales conversations and eventually revenue and sales. So I love it. Okay. So what are some of the other things that you're looking at? If, like, let's say people are trying to drive more leads, where do you go when you're thinking, okay, let's improve lead generation, or what are some of those things we need to layer in?
Yeah. I love that one. I love that question because that's a lot of what businesses are relying on is revenue. You know, how can we increase our user base, our client base? And you know, that question could be, you know, there's two different methods you can use, or you can use a quick ROI, you can use pay-per-click, PPC. And there's that route. If you don't want to pay, I would even just start even before that. What list do you have internally already in your CRM? You know, people that you may have reached out to, you know, people that you've have got from an organization, like at a workshop or something, and you haven't figured out what steps to take with them after you initially contacted them. And a lot of times those CRM tools will help you with, you know, setting up an email automation just to reach out to them, right? You can increase your revenue or increase, you know, more sales just by reaching your internal database. And that term I've heard is the acres of diamonds. Right, that's the one where anyone who's existing leads in your CRM, you reach out to them first, right? It's free, you already have them, and that's a great start. Now, if you don't have that option, right, then you have PPC. And I should really start with SEO, I feel like, just because let's say if you're in business, you know, 3 to 5 years, you had a website already, or even just the first 2 years, you have SEO, and that's your search engine optimization, right? So search engine, Google, right? Optimization, what are we optimizing your website, right? So if you look at Google as a service for your business, it's hosting your website for free. And so if you can make sure that your website is optimized, right? You have the right keywords, the right topics, the right blog content, you're answering the right questions, you can easily start increasing your lead gen. And, you know, it would take some time, a matter of 3 to 6 months. It could take a little bit longer. But that's a great start as you're building your business, you know, doing your, you know, face-to-face, you know, build up and things like that. That would be the great start. So that's search engine optimization. That's Google. All right. And then you have, you know, let's call it you're the paid customer for Google, right? PPC, pay-per-click. So Google, as a paying client to Google, if you pay Google and say, hey, I would like to start showing up for these terms, Google will put you on their sponsored content. So if someone's typing in, you know, home repair, in Google, they're going to list 3 sponsored ads. And that is a great way to get in front of potential prospects and get on top of your potential competitors. So those would be really the 2 great ways, 3, to make sure you are, you know, working on your lead generation.
I love it. You know, and, you know, when you're talking search, whether it's paid or unpaid, as you're mentioning, you know, one of the things that you're brilliant at is that keyword strategy. And this is about being intentional. Just because you have a website up doesn't mean people are going to find it, come to it, convert, doesn't mean it's the right people. And mm-hmm. So those keywords around what are people typing in, mm-hmm. right? What are they searching? And then what's the intent behind that search? Are they searching to purchase? Or are they searching for information? But there's so much research that can be done that creates more intentionality and, again, view to that pipeline around what are people doing when they're researching? Mm-hmm. Now, what are they doing when they're considering purchasing? And so I love that. And you have a tendency, appropriately so, to be aggressive with our clients. Like, if you want high-quality leads right now, we need to look at paid Google search and whether or not they can win, because there are some competitive environments that just price you out of the market. But I think that you can get so much insight around customers and buying habits and buying triggers simply by having these SEO and PPC conversations with a smart person saying, okay, here's where the opportunity lies. And again, it's that full circle of the right conversations, really looking at full pipeline management. And it's very exciting. And you're right. Yeah. I mean, if you're doing paid, you should be seeing results month one. And by month three, you should be getting to a system of predictable lead generation and making sure that everybody's having a conversation. So it's about quality leads, not just volume of leads. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Yeah, definitely. It's super important, because that process about the keyword intent, you know, there's all kinds of optimizations you can do to your Google Ads account, right? Everything's a different entity: your website, your Google Business Profile, your Google Ads account. Each of those need a set of eyes. You know, it could be one person like myself that are looking at those different aspects and making sure that you are going for the right key terms, right? You're at the right locations, and Google isn't taking your money and just spending it anywhere and everywhere and giving you basically a bad taste in your mouth about these different things, right? I mean, that's essentially the main concern that we usually get is, you know, we tried it and Google set me up on a smart version of the campaign. It took my money, a few keywords, and, you know, that was it.
And we got nothing for it. Yeah, we hear this all the time. Yes.
So, you know, and really, Google is what you mean. Their other business model is, or their original business model is, people are searching on Google. They need the best quality content in front of them. So if you're running ads, Google is looking at your ads. They're making sure that your keywords are aligned with the copy that you're delivering, and it's aligned with your landing page. So if that doesn't line up, and it's bad, and someone's not constantly keeping eyes on that, making sure your page is up and live, Google is not going to serve your ad. You know, that's why you're probably not going to get those results that you want. And same for SEO. You know, Google is constantly searching, scouring the website for the perfect image and the right copy, all the rich text on your website, and making sure that that is number one, because they want to give their other clients, the search person, the person searching for you, the best quality content in front of them. So.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think so, you know, just to share with people that keyword strategy in the initial component. So there are tools that you use that pull keywords that Google thinks the website is about. Sometimes they're wrong, right? Because it's not set up correctly. That pulls the competition and what they are ranking for on the back end. And one of the things I love is, you know, you'll show these very long lists to clients, and we have conversations around which ones are relevant to your business and what's missing. And just that conversation, I think that conversation, and I've been surprised to hear how infrequently we hear about digital marketing agencies doing this really intentionally and really challenging the client, especially in B2B, to say, are these words relevant? What does it mean to you? What's happening with these buyers if they're searching this? But it's a game changer because it educates the client and then it gets you solely in the area of the correct intent and really looking at the data accurately because, you know, I can run an ad for free puppies, but, you know, like that might not have anything to do with your business, right? And so really making sure that it's highly relevant to the people that are searching, bringing that value, as and then obviously to the people that are paying in order to bring those qualified leads and just finding that really right fit. So I think it's really exciting. And you even have some scenarios where you listen to the calls that come in from paid ads and review the quality, which is next level exciting. And
Yeah. I have so much respect for a lot, I mean, entrepreneurs in general, right? And then also just working at an agency, getting a taste of what, not just entrepreneurs, but, you know, people in the medical space, engineers, doctors that are also trying to run a practice, a business, a firm. And I mean, their mindset is I need to continue to be this professional expert in this area, right? You know, my first boss was an engineer who then went to the professional development space. He's very smart. Could he have learned marketing? Yeah, 100%. I mean, if anyone puts time into it, but that's not where his headspace is. He needs to be in the business. He needs to operate. He needs to do these different things. And so me as a digital marketer, I'm tasked with that. I want to make sure that, you know, is your website, before you publish, right, before you go live with anything, you should try to, you know, do some sort of target analysis, right? Figure out your branding, your logo. And a lot of times some of the great businesses don't do that. They just go right into it, jump in, go all in, get everything set up. And that's perfect. Now you're in that phase of, okay, how do I scale, right? How do I get my first lead or how do I scale? And so for me, yeah, that's where I would come in and make sure that we, you know, we're targeting the right keywords. What does your website currently rank for? You know, what could your website rank for? What is your competition doing? You know, there's all kinds of little forecast tools that we use, you know, SaaS tool, keyword ranking tools. They're out there. And we use some of the best tools. I mean, we use industry standard tools that are out there that have a lot of rapport, and we love them. But really the purpose behind that is to really, you know, one of your core values here is to tell the truth, right? Get the accurate data that what these keywords are doing for other businesses, what they can be doing for you. And once we see the ones that are relevant, the ones that make sense to your business, here is a strategy around that, right? This is the copy that's gonna be around that, the website, the blogs, or the paid ad campaign. So yeah, I really enjoy that part. I really like being able to see that back end data. Once we even take it another step further, right, give me access to your analytics and
yes,
and your CRM, and then we can start piecing things together. Like, oh, actually, you have a lot of organic traffic from Google or from social media already. We just need to be able to see how we can improve in those areas.
Yeah, and I mean, it's about quality. Like, that's the key, is focusing on what's the goal and then building a system that achieves that goal. Now, one of the things that I want to bring up, and I'm curious as like the audience perception on this, is that so AI can make you more efficient, but it cannot make you smarter. And that's one of the things that's really come into mind, because you use a lot of AI tools, like the rest of the team uses a lot of AI tools. We would be foolish not to, right? You know, evolve or die, basically. But it's garbage in, garbage out, or excellence in, excellence out, because the thinking that you're describing and the strategy and that communication, that team system building, where it's like, okay, is this the right thing for the business? AI can't make those decisions. It can only facilitate the decisions that a smart, talented human being is making so that you drive value for other smart, talented human beings. You know, so I think that's one of the things that I just realized, you know, it's not on our list is AI, but it's because it doesn't necessarily drive results. It just speeds up the machine. And so you have to have that strategy and that approach and that system in place.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's such a great topic. I mean, that definitely AI is definitely like a reinforcement for marketers, probably for other industries as well. I'm sure AI is being used in the medical space, you know, all different areas. It's been around, I guess, a while, but like it's kind of really mainstream now with ChatGPT and things. And you essentially have to use things like prompts, right? Just telling AI, this is who you are, you know, this this is our target persona. We need to speak, you know, in this context, and you know that alone can take you very, very far, you know. And then there are other tools, you know, I talk about industry standard tools. There are still other startup tools that SaaS tools, software as a service, that are implementing AI every day, or using it some way to help you improve your process, right, in your marketing. I've seen an AI tool where it'll pull your analytic data and then AI will try to create some target personas from your analytic data. And that's beyond me. But again, is it going to be accurate? Is it going to be who your actual target persona is? That's when the human aspect comes in and really refines that and says, yeah, that's close, but you know, they're missing this, this, and this, and this, right? So I love AI. There's CRM tools are implementing it. And essentially, I would say that AI and other, you know, Google Ads has a form of AI at some, you know, in some ways. There are tools that integrate with Google Ads, and they use their AI to try to essentially run the ads for you through the, you know, these algorithm processing sets that they have in place. But again, it takes the human aspect to go in there and actually look at, you know, that data and make sure that is the decision that the AI is making really going to make sense for you, right?
Yeah.
So really they have to work together. It's not the alternative. It's not the replacement. It's the alternative, right? Or you co-opt with AI.
Yes. Agreed. So I've got one, I think, final question for you is, what for business to business companies is the role of paid social media?
What is the role of paid social media?
Yeah, where do you find that working, not working? What do people need to be thinking about, you know, if they're saying, should we be running ads on LinkedIn? Should we be running ads on Facebook or Instagram or YouTube? Like, you know, when you start thinking about more of these content and these social platforms, what's the role in B2B?
Yeah, that is a great question. And it really, I guess it comes down to which platform, you know, what does that platform communicate? And when you're trying to reach out to somebody through the ad network, like for example, I mean, typically I would wear a polo and jeans, and I'm typically more casual, business casual. But right now, I want my brand to be on my first video, almost very professional. I'm missing a tie, and you know other things, but that is the message that I want to convey, right? So if you're going to be on Facebook if you're going to be on LinkedIn, you may want to have that approach of, I want to reach other professionals. So here's a good opportunity to use video, and I might go on there, or, you know, as yourself, you might go on there with very looking, very clean, very professional, because you're going to be talking to other professionals. And in this, you know, we have talked about like forecasting, you know, where does it make sense to put your ad budget, essentially. If we find that LinkedIn is where a lot of your competition, or sorry, your ideal client is going to be, then we would say, yes, perfect. Like, let's start there. Let's start with maybe something simple like a form. But to get their interest peak, right, you got to have a nice piece of copy. You got to have a good image. And that image might be of you, especially if you're a coach, right? If you're an expert professional development coach or something, or it might be a video. And you know, that is just one way of kind of approaching LinkedIn. Facebook and Instagram, you know, they're scrolling, they're on their website, they're on that website to kind of escape, you know, reality for a little bit, get into these videos, enjoy their time and all the things that they're interested in. And then all of a sudden, you know, you see an ad, right? So you've got to make sure that ad is, if you're setting it up correctly, it's going to be a prompt message of, this is how we can hit that pain point, right? And or generate some interest, right? And you want to make sure that that barrier to entry is very low. You want to just capture their information really quickly. Facebook forums are really hot for me right now. They do amazingly well. The costs per click and cost per conversion, meaning like the people who actually give you their information, that is a really great start for a lot of businesses. I mean, it doesn't matter what space. You may, you know, we may run ads on Google, but most of our, a lot of our leads are coming from Facebook, which it's just that concept of thinking that when you're on different, when you're thinking about the ad network. So
I love it. Yeah. You know, and Ramsey's bringing up a really great point when he's talking about the specifics of think about what the platform's communicating and what you want to communicate. And because this is related to the pipeline, again, back to pipeline management. So when he was explaining search and paying Google, you're down closer to a buying intent. They are searching for something very, very specific. They are looking for you. They might not know your name and they might not know it's you, but they're typing in terms that then cause you to populate. However, social media, he nailed it when he basically said you're interrupting them. So it has a tendency to play more of an educational role and a brand awareness role where you're warming them up. Now you absolutely can drive leads, but you need to have the elements that he pointed out early in place, knowing that CRM, making sure you're tracking set up so then you can watch them all the way through their buyer's journey. Absolutely critical, because what this ends up doing is creating an ecosystem where you are filling your pipeline now and in the future, because you're using different platforms in collaboration with one another. And as we've mentioned over and over and over, having the right conversations internally to make sure that that pipeline management is healthy, that these are the exact people that you're wanting to target or that you're wanting to sell to, and that this is the appropriate revenue strategy for you to generate that future and current business. All right, Larry MC, this has been amazing. Any final tips when you're thinking about either encouraging people into digital marketing or, you know, areas that they need to be aware of that doesn't suck away their ROI?
Yeah, so to get the, to really maximize your, right, if you have finally set some time to get into digital marketing and you have some budget, and you may even have somebody in-house, or you may be seeking somebody to do work for you. You know, to really maximize that, you've got to understand that this is an entirely new space for a lot of business owners, right? I mean, I would say that for me, I really enjoy something. Get the tool, I'll buy the tool, I'll try the free trial. And I've tried a lot of free trials on tools, a lot of free trials. I've built websites on WordPress and other platforms just for fun and not really do anything with them, but just to learn how this whole concept works. And that is what a digital marketer, I would say, does, right? They're trying the new tool for keyword search, right? They're trying a new tool for automating your reporting, right? You know, I'm trying a new tool for analytics. There's two or three out there, and I'm trying to find the best solution to make sure that we're maximizing your budget, you know. And if you want to do that yourself, I would really just, you know, find the industry standards of what tools are out there that does it the best, so you don't waste any time, you don't waste any money, and get it all set up properly. You know, you can find somebody to set it up properly. There's a really huge need for that, to get the expert to help you set that up one, you know, maybe even once, one and done, or continue to optimize, you know. So I would like to say that for the digital side, there isn't a perfect science, but there are processes that you can use that can really make you very, you know, very, it can be really successful. Your campaigns can be really successful, I should say.
Well said. You guys, I could not agree more with him on that. Just as a final summary, if you have ever run digital and you're like, oh, that doesn't work for us, you should be asking, why did it not? right? Because those answers are there. And when you get them, they can be transformative to scaling your aggressive business model in your growth. So definitely making sure that you understand the role that digital should play. And if it didn't go well for you in the past, harvest those lessons so that you can identify where your opportunities really lie in the future. Because guess what? These platforms are not going to slow down. They're only accelerating the pace of change. And so if you're not in it yet, or if you need to get back in it, now, do it now and jump in and get those answers that you need. So we would love to hear your specific questions. If we do run audits for prospective customers. And so if that's something that you're looking for, please reach out to us and Ramsey and I will hop on a call with you. But you guys, thank you. I really hope this helped give you some insight into how to approach your digital marketing in 2024. And if you liked what you heard, hit that subscribe button. Onward and upward.